This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, March 27, 2017. Coming up this hour,
the dollar and global equities fall after Friday's failure to pass health care reform.
Investors unwind trades initiated in November amid skepticism President Trump can implement his agenda.
Oil trades lower, even as OPEC considers extending output cuts beyond June to trim stockpiles.
President Trump is lashing out at Republicans for the defeat of the health care bill to replace Obamacare. Plus, President Trump will unveil a new office. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Ahead in sports, the Rangers doubled up on the road, the Nets win on the road, and the road to the Final Four is paved with newcomers.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City cash flow real estate, providing you 10 to 16% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, and futures are lower. S&P futures down 20 points, Dow futures down 140, NASDAQ futures down 44, the DAX in Germany's down 0.9%, CAC in Paris down 0.4%, and the FTSE 100 down 0.8%. Nikkei 225 in Japan fell 1.4%, the Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury up 13 32nds, yield 2.36%, yield on the 2-year 1.22%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 40 cents to $47.57 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $9.50 to $12.61.20 an ounce. The euro, $1.0869, the yen 110.29.
The dollar and U.S. equity futures are following global stocks lower after President Trump was unable to pass his health care overhaul Friday. Investors appear to be unwinding trades initiated in November amid skepticism the president can implement his economic agenda. Still, Latitude Investment Management founder and chief investment officer Freddie Leight says the White House could have success when it comes to tax reform.
I don't think we actually knew what we were buying other than an administration with a willingness to try and do tax reform. We still have that willingness, and if anything else, it's probably been re-G'd on over the weekend. So I do see counters to the immediate negative on the margin, yes.
The U.S. dollar is now close to erasing its post-election rally, with the Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index currently at 99.088.
And trading for this Monday underway in Europe, where Bloomberg's Mark Barton joins us live from our London bureau. Good morning, Mark.
Karen, good morning. European stocks following their Asian peers lower. It's a broad-based rally. Most of the industry groups falling on the Stock 600. Investors, as you've said, shunning risky assets today as they question President Trump's ability to implement his economic agenda after failing to push through his healthcare deal on Friday. Banks and basic resources, two of the industries which have benefited the most from optimism about pro-growth measures, are today's worst performers. A flight to safety lifting 10-year bonds in the UK, Germany, France and Italy, pushing yields lower. The dollar's demise has sent the euro to its highest since November last year. Sterling also rising to levels unseen since February the 1st. Today's big data release in Germany is the IFO survey. Business sentiment in Europe's biggest economy improved in March, and a sign momentum is being sustained. IFO's business climate index rose to 112.3 in March versus a revised 111.1 in February. The economy expanding at the fastest pace in 5 years in 2016. It's a trend that's set to continue, as the Bundesbank says recent momentum may have been understated. Manufacturing and services output is increasing at the fastest pace in almost 6 years, and unemployment is at a record low, factors that could contribute to stronger growth in the coming months, even amid risks from political events. Mark Barton, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thank you, Mark. In Asia today, benchmark equity gauges from Japan to Singapore fell on the heels of last week's failed U.S. healthcare deal. Bloomberg's Juliette Saleh has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob and Karen, caution prevailed and volatility made a comeback across Asian markets Monday, investors taking their cue from Friday's declines on Wall Street. Continued dollar weakness saw safe haven assets like gold and the yen back in favour. The yen's strength sending the Nikkei down by 1.5% in Tokyo. Volatility on the Nikkei Nikkei 225 rose to its highest level in 2 months. In Hong Kong, developers fell and the Hang Seng was lower. Analysts saying the 11% run-up in the index so far this year appears to be running out of steam. Shares in China Southern Air rose after it confirmed it is in talks to sell a stake to American Airlines. Emerging market assets like the ringgit continued to climb as traders bet the reflation trade sparked by the Trump election is starting to falter. Juliet Salih, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. In the Middle East, oil producers from OPEC and non-OPEC countries wrapped up a meeting in Kuwait over the weekend where they considered extending the deal to limit production. Bloomberg's Youssef Gamaladine reports from Kuwait City.
The group represented on the OPEC front by Kuwait, Algeria, and Venezuela. On the non-OPEC front, you had Russia and Oman. This was always going to be a meeting about conformity, about the level of compliance as they described it. Now, they did cite some of the key challenges in global oil markets. You're looking at low seasonal demand, refinery maintenance, and rising non-OPEC supply clouding the efforts of this agreement. Now, they're waiting for more data to be able to make a call about a further extension. But what they have asked OPEC to do is to deliver recommendations about how they'd like to go about that extension. The formal decision on an extension is expected on May 25 in Vienna. I'm Youssef Gamaladine, Bloomberg, Kuwait City.
Youssef, thank you. Oil prices are lower this morning, despite talk of extending that output cut, as producers say more time is needed to trim global stockpiles. Speaking after the meeting, OPEC Secretary General Mohamed Barkindo said producers need to build on momentum gained in the past few months.
We expect to see very, very high levels of conformity in the subsequent months. And this will inform the decision on the duration of this decision.
OPEC ministers meet next in Vienna on May 25th to decide whether to extend production cuts. West Texas Intermediate crude right now is trading down 0.9% to $47.55 a barrel. Brent crude at $50.47 a barrel. And this is Bloomberg. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. The Republican president takes aim at Republicans. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump is taking a swipe at Republican leaders for last week's defeat of a bill to repeal and replace Obamacare. Trump took to Twitter to criticize the Freedom Caucus, the Conservative Heritage Foundation, and the free market advocacy group Club for Growth, which opposed the bill for not going far enough to erase Obamacare. Aides to President Trump are opening the door to working with moderate Democrats on health care and other issues. White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus spoke on Fox News Sunday.
More so now than ever, it's time for both parties to come together and get to real reforms in this country, whether it be taxes, whether it be health care, whether it be immigration, whether it be infrastructure. This president is ready to lead and sort of, you know, over with the games in the legislature.
Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer on ABC's This Week says he's willing to work with his Republican colleagues, but
as long as they say no more repeal, that's a loser. 17% of Americans like Trump care. That's it. They didn't want it. And stop undermining ACA. And we'll work with them. We have ideas. They have ideas to try to improve Obamacare.
President Donald Trump is set to announce a new White House office run by his son-in-law, Jared Kushner. The office will pursue overhauling government functions using ideas from the business sector. Angela Merkel's CDU party has won a key vote in the German state of Saarland. Bloomberg's Patrick Donahue has more from Berlin.
The contest was the first test of the recent surge for the German Social Democrats under their candidate, Martin Schulz. Polls before the election showed a tight race, which suggests that Schulz's ambition to unseat Merkel in the national vote in September could prove more difficult than party supporters expected. Patrick Donahue, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, Berlin.
South Korean prosecutors say they want to arrest former President Park Geun-hye over the corruption allegations that toppled her from power. Prosecutors grilled Park last week over suspicions that she colluded with her longtime friend to extort companies and commit other crimes. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Much obliged, sir. That brings us to 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Butchka.
Good morning, Bob. The Rangers welcome back Henrik Lundqvist between the pipes, and he kept New York in the game until the third period. Andrew Cagliano scored the game winner and one of three goals in the third as the Ducks beat the Rangers 6-3 out west. Lundqvist, who's been out since March 7th nursing a sore hip, said he felt better than the end result.
I felt pretty good at times, and you need some puck luck as well, I think. A couple of tough bounces there on two goals, especially the fifth one and the second one. But we, you know, we keep working here. Have a few more games to get better.
Hank finished with 28 saves. The Rangers still hold on to fourth place in the East. They're ahead of Montreal. Islanders, just 2 points out of the playoffs, host Nashville tonight with 8 games to play. The Nets continue to creep out of the NBA cellar, beating the Hawks in Atlanta 107-92. Three starters and four players scored in double figures for Brooklyn, who picked up their 16th win. Now just 5 games separate them and the Lakers for the worst record in the NBA. And March Madness moves to Phoenix next weekend with an unconventional Final Four than years past. Gone are the big names like Duke, Kentucky, Kansas, and Villanova. In are South Carolina, who will play Gonzaga, both schools making their first appearance. Oregon makes their second trip, their first since the tournament started in 1939 when they won it all. They'll play number one seed North Carolina, a mainstay, as part of a Saturday doubleheader. And spring training, Yankees beat the Rays, Mets hammered the Braves. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Buschka. In other sports news, professional golfer Phil Mickelson won't be called to testify at gambler Billy Walters' insider trading trial. Attorney Barry Burke says he won't call Mickelson because he would invoke his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. In a lawsuit against Walters, regulators say Mickelson made $931,000 trading on information obtained by Walters. Regulators made no assertion that Mickelson did anything wrong, and he has since agreed to repay his earnings. S&P futures down 20 points. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Command Financial. The business world is constantly evolving. Is your financial printer evolving with it? Call 212-274-0070 and learn how Command Financial is redefining financial printing. CommandFinancial.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Chris Kirkham at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Karen. The reflation trade looks all but over as President Trump's healthcare defeat raises questions about whether he can deliver stimulus. About a third of investors polled say the dollar is overvalued. That's the most since 2006. OPEC and other big oil producers are considering extending output cuts beyond June. Some members favor an extension, but Russia said it wants time to assess inventories and production. 14 Fed speeches are scheduled for this week, including one from Chair Janet Yellen. We'll also bring you several Bloomberg-exclusive interviews with Fed presidents this week, including a conversation today with Chicago President Charles Evans at 1:45 p.m. Wall Street time. And apparently disco isn't dead. It's staying alive at the Library of Congress, which is showcasing disco music, dance, and fashion in a tribute series next month in Washington. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
All right, Chris Kirkham, thank you. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Brown University School of Professional Studies, engaging mid-career professionals with executive master's degrees in business, cybersecurity, healthcare, and technology. Brown.edu/executive. And futures are dropping. S&P futures down almost 21 points. Dow futures down 143. NASDAQ futures down about 44. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 12/32nds, yield 2.36%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 40 cents to $47.57 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $8.60 to $12.60.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.0866. The yen, 110.33. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump is lashing out at Republicans for the defeat of last week's health care bill. Trump says Democrats are smiling in D.C., that the Freedom Caucus and other groups saved Planned Parenthood and Obamacare. The Trump administration plans to issue an executive order tomorrow to dismantle a rule under former President Barack Obama that slashed carbon dioxide emissions and discouraged coal-fired electricity. In sports, the Final Four is set in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. North Carolina beat Kentucky to face Oregon. Meanwhile, South Carolina beat Florida to face Gonzaga. In the NBA, the Nets won. The Celtics and the Warriors were also winners. In the NHL, the Rangers and the Devils lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Ella Fitzgerald described her as the world's greatest singing talent.
These are a few of my favorite things.
Well, Sarah Vaughan was born on this day in Newark, New Jersey, 1924. She got into the music scene by accident. Bob, at age 18, she was dared by her friends to enter a talent contest at Harlem's Apollo Theater and won with a rendition of Body and Soul.
Broken-Hearted Melody is one of my favorite songs of all time. It sounds as fresh today as it did back in 1959.
She has one of the smoothest voices. I had it, and of course she passed in 1990 at age 66. But boy, she had a smooth voice. My goodness. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And good morning. Joining us is Yelena Shaletyeva, Bloomberg Intelligence Senior U.S. Economist. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
So I want to start by asking you about some comments made over the weekend to Bloomberg by former Atlanta Fed President Dennis Lockhart. He said U.S. policymakers have room for two more rate increases this year. That's up from his forecast just a few months ago. And he also told us that he thinks FOMC members are no longer assuming that fiscal measures from President Trump will affect their outlook for the U.S. economy.
The 15th of March, the decision was largely premised on simply what the data were telling them about the outlook, independent of fiscal policy.
And I find that interesting in light of what happened on Friday that is raising some skepticism about whether President Trump can get his agenda through Congress. Is that going to factor into what the Fed does or not?
Well, not yet. So we're still watching what is happening, obviously. But as Chair Yellen recently suggested, actually, just after the FOMC meeting, she said that some FOMC participants incorporated some of the fiscal stimulus into their forecast, but they're still waiting to see what is going to happen. So this is probably not going to affect their decisions that much this year, at least. So in terms of Dennis Lockhart, yes, you know, FOMC participants change their views. They can update their views slightly as the economy changes. And we know that the Atlanta Fed, they submitted their forecasts despite the fact that President Lockhart retired. So we think the dot is at three rate hikes this year. So what will be interesting to see this week, we have a lot of other Fed speakers. For example, today we're going to hear from Charles Evans, the Chicago Fed president, and Dallas Fed president Kaplan. So Evans is slightly more on the dovish side. And this is another example how the views could slightly change. So we think that he was expecting two rate hikes going into the March meeting. But his most recent comments actually suggest that he might be okay with three if inflation rises to their target, which he doesn't see as of yet.
And we're going to hear from a number of Fed speakers this week who could shed some light on this.
Absolutely. A lot of comments, though, this week. We already heard from this Fed speakers over the past couple of weeks. So we're probably not going to learn too much about the path of interest rates. But will be very interesting to see what their comments are on the balance sheet and their plan to unwind the balance sheet eventually.
Elena Shileteva from Bloomberg Intelligence, thank you very much. And Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and governmental factors that impact business. Our terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. And join us later today for an exclusive interview with Chicago Fed President Charles Evans at 1:45 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by the 1031 Real Estate Group. Turnkey investment properties fully rented with a downtown city location. Call 844-777-1031. 844-777-1031.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And good morning to you at 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. And we are watching a headline here crossing the Bloomberg to bring you quickly. The Dow DuPont deal has won conditional antitrust approval from the European Union. The dollar, meanwhile, and U.S. stock index futures are following European and Asian equities lower this morning. At the same time, risk assets like gold, U.S. treasuries, and the yen are rallying following Friday's failure to pass a health care bill.
In the UK, the Bank of England says it will subject the biggest banks to stress tests featuring a deep economic slump and a sharp depreciation of the pound as the country prepares for the impact of Brexit. The test will simulate UK output falling by 4.7%, a 32% decline of the pound, and a 5% inflation rate.
In the Middle East, five OPEC member nations have backed an extension of production curbs designed to raise global crude prices. OPEC energy ministers met in Kuwait City over the weekend, along with ministers from non-OPEC producers, including Russia. They will make a formal decision on cuts by May. And checking oil now, Brent is lower, down 0.6% at $50.49 a barrel. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% at $47.57.
Here in the U.S., on Tuesday, the Conference Board issues its monthly Consumer Confidence Index, the first of this week's major economic indicators. And Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has a preview.
In February, the Conference Board's Consumer Confidence Index rose to 114.8, the highest since 2001. The share of consumers who said the economy will generate more jobs also increased. The University of Michigan issues its Consumer Sentiment Index Friday. Among other reports on this week's calendar, pending home sales, personal income and spending, the government's final estimate of fourth quarter GDP. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. And time now for the Volatility Index Report, brought to you by CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE, VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesvix. Well, the VIX fell 1.2% on Friday to close at 1296. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are up 13.4% to 14.70, and that is this morning's Volatility Report.
Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 20 points. Dow futures down 144. NASDAQ futures down 42. 10-year Treasury up 12/32nds, yield 2.36%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% at $47.57 a barrel. And our latest world and national news straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. And that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street, a Republican lashing from the president. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. President Donald Trump lashed out at Republican leadership for the defeat of the bill to repeal and replace Obamacare. Trump on Twitter criticized the House Freedom Caucus, the Conservative Heritage Foundation, and the free market advocacy group Club for Growth, which opposed the bill for not going far enough. Trump also tweeted Democrats are smiling in D.C. that the Republican health care plan fell through. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on ABC's This Week says it's time for President Trump to focus on improving the Affordable Care Act.
For the president to say that he'll destroy it or undermine it, that's not presidential. That's petulance, being petulant, not a president.
White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus spoke on Fox News Sunday.
Everything's on the table. We'll give these guys another chance, and that's not really the point. If we can come up with a bill that accomplishes the goals of the president with Republicans alone, then we'll take it and we'll move forward with it. But we're moving on to tax reform. We've got the budget coming up.
Priebus also says it's time for Republicans to come together and potentially get a few moderate Democrats to join them. It will be called the White House Office of American Innovation. President Trump plans to announce the new office today, and a senior administration official says it will be led by Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. The office is designed to change how the government functions using ideas from the business sector. South Korean prosecutors are seeking to arrest former President Park Geun-hye over allegations she abused her powers and colluded with her longtime friend to get bribes from the nation's top businesses. Hong Kong's former number two official, Carrie Lam, was elected as the city's chief executive. Lam, China's preferred candidate, won with 67% of the vote of the Electoral College from businessmen, professionals, and politicians. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Mr. Barr, thank you. It is now 6:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, Rob Bushka.
Good morning, Bob. Rangers fans waited 3 weeks for Hank Lundqvist's hip to recover so he could climb back in net, but the Rangers came up short in Anaheim 6-3. He still finished with 28 saves, but after a 3-3 tie heading into the second intermission, realizes he wasn't at his best.
We made some mistakes where they cashed in. I felt pretty good and started the game, and then that second goal and I think the fifth goal, some tough bounces against a good team, and there's a lot of good things, and then there's definitely things that I can do better.
The Rangers are still in fourth place in the East, could be staring at a great first-round Original Six matchup with number five seed Montreal. Islanders play a key game tonight at Barclays Center when they take on the Predators. New York is 2 points behind Boston for the eighth and final playoff berth. NBA Nets came up with a 15-point win in Atlanta thanks to three starters scoring in double figures led by Brook Lopez with 23. Nets still sport the worst record in the league by 5 games. And nobody saw this Final Four coming. Oregon making their first trip since 1939. South Carolina's first ever as they joined number one seed Gonzaga and number one seed North Carolina, who played an instant classic with Kentucky in the South region.
Hinson penetrates, has to May, 18-footer, good! With 3/10 of a second to go, North Carolina leads!
Westwood won on the call, so it's South Carolina and Gonzaga, followed by Oregon and North Carolina Saturday in Phoenix. In spring training, Yankees and Mets both win. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushka, thanks very much. A new House ethics investigation focuses on Republican Congressman Duncan Hunter of California. Bloomberg's Nancy Lyons has the story from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Congressman Hunter is known as an effective fundraiser, but he's facing some questions about how he spent some of that money.
It looks like Hunter was using some of his campaign money for things like family vacations and other things that were clearly personal expenses.
Bloomberg BNA's Ken Doyle.
He has returned some of the money, taken money from his own pocket and given it, paid it back to the campaign, and says that anything that happened was inadvertent. But the Justice Department now is looking into this and trying to get to the bottom of what happened and whether the law was violated.
So since there is a criminal investigation, the House Ethics Committee is deferring any action. Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio, Washington.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:37, coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
Secretary of Defense James Mattis may have surprised lawmakers last week when he challenged them to provide a new legal basis for the U.S. war against terrorist groups. But Congress needs to pay attention. In recent years, American counterterrorism efforts abroad have been conducted mostly on the authorization for use of force that Congress passed after the September 11th attacks. Yet today's biggest terrorist enemies, including Islamic State, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, and Al-Shabaab in Somalia, didn't exist in 2001. So it's absurd to say they count among the terrorists who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the 9/11 atrocities. This is more than semantics. Congress has for too long abdicated its role in American war-making. And now that President Donald Trump is looking at counterterrorism actions going well beyond the Obama approach, including bringing new prisoners to Guantanamo Bay and broadening the air war in Somalia. The legal precariousness poses a tangible threat. Congress needs to get serious about its constitutional requirement to get involved. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com and View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Time now for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. The nation's top environmental cop says President Donald Trump is determined to unravel his predecessor's sweeping plan to curb global warming. Environmental Protection Agency Chief Scott Pruitt said a new executive order Trump will sign tomorrow will undo the Obama administration's Clean Power Plan, an environmental regulation that restricts greenhouse gas emissions at coal-fired power plants. A legal challenge by states and businesses has kept the 2015 rule on hold. Sierra Club President Michael Brune issued a sharp rebuke to the idea that Trump's move will bring back coal mining jobs and reduce the cost of electricity.
We know that coal is not coming back. It's expensive and it's unhealthy, but only a weak and unpopular president like Trump would ignore that reality simply to pad the profit of polluters.
During Pruitt's appearance yesterday on ABC's This Week, the head of the EPA also called the Paris Climate Accord a bad deal because he said it went too easy on China and India, who, like the U.S., are among the world's leading producers of carbon dioxide. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. A forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently down 20 points. That is 0.8%. Dow futures lower by 139 points. NASDAQ futures down by 42 points. 10-year treasury prices up 13.32. The yield at 2.3657%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. And the Bloomberg View was brought to you by the audit, tax, and advisory professionals at Eisner Amper, LLP.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar is extending its decline and stocks falling as investor doubt grows that President Trump will be able to implement his economic agenda. European bonds and gold advancing, industrial commodities are dropping. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 20 points this morning. Dow futures down 140. NASDAQ futures down 41. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 13.32. The yield 2.36%. Yield on the 2-year 1.23%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 36 cents to $47.61 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.7% or $8.60 to $12.60.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.0867, the yen, 110.34. This update is brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, South Korean prosecutors are seeking to arrest former President Park Geun-hye. She's accused of abusing power to get bribes. The court could rule on her arrest warrant as early as this week. Cincinnati police continue to search for suspects in a weekend nightclub shooting that left one man dead and 15 other people injured. An Associated Press analysis finds that North Carolina stands to pay a steep price for its so-called bathroom bill. The analysis finds that the law limiting LGBT protections will cost North Carolina more than $3.76 billion in lost business over a dozen years. In sports in the NBA, the Nets won. The Celtics and the Warriors were also winners. In the NHL, the Rangers and the Devils lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, the Final Four is set in the men's NCAA basketball tournament. North Carolina beat Kentucky 75-73 on a last-second bucket. North Carolina will face Oregon. Meanwhile, Bob, South Carolina beat Florida to face Gonzaga, both in their first Final Four ever.
Brackets, I'm sure you predicted this, right?
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah, well, that's the story, and I'm sticking to it. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. With their early attempts to pass a health care bill having failed, House Republicans have three options. The first, keep trying to modify the bill to win majority support. But the basic structure of the bill limits their room to maneuver. No amount of tweaking is going to change the basic picture of a bill with which no one is very happy. The second, drop health care for the time being, as President Trump has threatened. But that retreat would be embarrassing, would anger many conservatives, and would reduce the power of both Trump and Speaker Paul Ryan. And Republicans don't have more promising legislation ready to go. Third, try a new approach on health care. Instead of concentrating on Obamacare's taxes and spending, House Republicans could alter its regulations. A new bill that tackled regulations could find more favor among conservatives, since it would replace more of Obamacare and reduce premiums more, and among moderates, since lower premiums would mean more coverage. The main drawback to this option is that it would take time, and the president's patience appears to be running out. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker.
Large insurance companies are turning to a neglected market to pursue a sizable profit opportunity. Small businesses. While globalization and product capacity drove growth over the past decade, there are a couple of reasons that stand out for this recalibration towards small businesses. Technology is offering a significant opportunity, providing faster and more accurate underwriting for smaller accounts, while pricing trends suggest the small account market faces less competitive pressure than for larger ones. Smaller accounts have led to the most recent insurance underwriting pricing based on Market Scout survey data. Jumbo accounts commanding premiums over $1 million were the last to post gains when prices last increased, and when they did, year-over-year gains averaged just about 2%. In contrast, accounts paying premiums for small businesses reported annual gains of around 4%. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report.
Thank you, John Tucker. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the U.S. Supreme Court issuing orders and plans to hear oral arguments. President Trump participating in a roundtable discussion with women small business owners. And Senate Majority and Minority Leaders Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer deliver remarks at APEX 2017 Policy Conference. Meanwhile, investors are focused on the White House after the defeat of last week's health care bill. Bloomberg White House reporter Jennifer Epstein joins us now on the Spectrum Enterprise phone line. Spectrum Enterprise, nationwide fiber-based network and IT infrastructure solutions. We saw the health care, Republican health care bill go down to failure. What about President Trump's agenda for tax and regulatory reform going forward?
Well, you know, that seems to be where he really wanted to focus his energies to begin with, and, you know, just kind of thought from a process standpoint he had to do healthcare first. But, you know, as much as Republicans agree in theory on the need for tax reform and on cutting taxes, there is a lot of disagreement and no real consensus on what exactly that should look like. You know, some Republicans are in favor of a border adjustment tax. Others are, you know, pretty staunchly opposed to it. Lots of Democrats are opposed to it as well. You know, this is not as easy as just saying we're going to do tax reform and just snap the fingers and it's done. This is going to be something. This is one of those things that Washington, you know, always kind of abstractly talks about doing, but never actually does. And there's a reason, which is that it's hard, just the same way that healthcare is a hard thing to do. And that's sort of something that I don't know that the president is really thinking about right now. I think he's just thinking, okay, we can do this. We have, you know, Republicans on board, and you know, it seems like something that he's more passionate about personally, about lowering corporate taxes, and sees that as a way to create jobs, and you know, thinks that will ultimately you know, get the rest of his agenda in gear.
What does this do to President Trump's relationship with Congress in general? We saw, you know, tweets over the weekend in which he did mention that the Democrats were smiling because he said the Republicans couldn't agree on this health care bill, particularly conservative Republicans came in for a lashing.
Yeah, you know, the president specifically has gone after the Freedom Caucus, these members who, you know, throughout the week last week were really disappointed with this bill. They were calling it Obamacare light. They were saying that it didn't go, you know, far enough in you know, cutting costs and sort of making the lowest standards for bills exceptionally low and trying to do whatever they could in that direction. And the White House tries to negotiate with them, but, you know, every time that the White House would give something to the Freedom Caucus, it would lose some moderate Republican votes, by cutting some benefits. And that was really, something that the White House and Speaker Ryan's office, you know, were only willing to negotiate so far. I think mostly from the White House, the president just kind of got fed up with it and said, you know, Thursday into Friday, you know, we got to just try this now. We're going to vote. We got to, you know, do this. And if they don't want to vote for it, fine. And that's what happened. And he thought it was going to be that these members were going to go up for a vote and they were going to vote no. And ultimately, you know, the message from the Hill was, no, we're not going to hold this hard vote. And that's not even going to end up passing this bill, because that's going to hurt a lot of members in their districts. If they have that no against them, yes would have hurt them too. And that was really the difficult position that a lot of Republicans were in by the end of this process.
And very quickly, I mentioned earlier that President Trump is participating in a roundtable discussion with women small business owners. Ivanka Trump has a new book, Women Who Work. How's she going to promote that book while serving in her father's administration without a conflict of interest?
I don't know that there's a clear way. It's already been announced that she's going to be going to Germany next month for a women's summit. There's you know, the president has kind of steadily every week or two been doing some kind of women's event, often with Ivanka in the meeting. And so, you know, I think it's kind of a way, you know, to do a kind of indirect, you know, hey, she cares about women's issues. Oh, yeah, and there's this book out. And, you know, if she can't put it together, you know, for ethics reasons, well, the media can put it together and, you know, her outside supporters can put it together.
Bloomberg White House reporter Jennifer Epstein, thank you very much for joining us. And you can read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Let's go to Karen Moscow now for a last check of the markets.
Well, Bob, futures are falling, with S&P futures down 19 points right now. Dow futures down 133 and Nasdaq futures down 39. This says equities in Europe are also dropping. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. The FTSE 100 down the same. And the CAC in Paris down 0.2%. So we'll be watching the markets this morning. We're also watching the dollar. The euro right now is at $1.0867. The yen at 110.36. And the 10-year Treasury is up 12 32nds, the yield 2.36%. For Bob Boone, I'm Karen Moscow. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.